This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's back to work, Monday, July 16th, 2018. Your next chance to win $1,000 coming up at 12:24. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got very warm and humid conditions today. Possibility of a thunderstorm, a high of 88. It's 88 right now at O'Hare.
And the Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. It's a mixed verdict on the market so far. Let's get the latest from Bloomberg and Elisa Perez.
That's right, Rob and Chris. The Dow is up 23 points, or about a tenth of a percent, to 25,042, while the Nasdaq is down 6 points, or about a tenth of a percent. S&P lower by one. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index in the red by half a percent. The upside today is provided by banks after Bank of America's consumer banking unit reported its highest profit in more than 8 years. That is being offset by a drop in energy stocks. The price of oil is tumbling more than 4% to $68.05 a barrel. Shares of 21st Century Fox are in the red as a hoped-for bidding war between Disney and Comcast fails to materialize. Fox accepted Disney's offer over Comcast's higher bid, and Comcast, according to CNBC, is now highly unlikely to try again. And the Federal Communications Commission is rejecting a different media takeover plan. Sinclair Broadcast wants to buy Tribune Media and its 42 TV stations. It's proposing to sell New York's Channel 11 and WGN here in Chicago to meet ownership limits. But the FCC says Sinclair would still be in control in practice, and that's in violation of the law. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, the big story today, of course, is the president and Vladimir Putin. We'll see what Wall Street's reaction is to that. And Amazon Prime Day, it kicks off this afternoon.
We'll talk about the latest in the price of oil. And then if you are approaching the age in which you can accept Social Security and you're still working, should you take the money? We'll talk about that coming up at 12:39.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Retail sales for June are strong, with a boost in car sales helping lead the way. We're going to be covering that in our next segment right now. The week is underway with the release of several key economic reports, plus the historic meeting of Presidents Trump and Putin in Helsinki. We're joined by Lance Roberts, Chief Investment Strategist at Charity Financial in Houston. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Lance. What is Wall Street looking for in this meeting of Trump and Putin? What are they watching?
I'm not sure that Wall Street's really looking, real hard at this particular meeting, because expectations are pretty low of anything actually coming out of this meeting between Trump and Putin at this point. I think really most of the focus right now continues to relate really to two things. One, the potential of tariffs and what's been happening there. Just recently, we, added about $200 billion worth of tariffs on China. We have not really heard of any response yet to any great degree from China, although the devaluation of the yuan is down about 6%, which is a de facto tariff on U.S. products going into China. Outside of that, really, it's about earnings. We're right in the middle of earnings season, and, of course, we're watching particularly the bank earnings out today. But most importantly, going forward, it's really going to be where a lot of the money's been flowing to, which have been primarily discretionary stocks and technology stocks. Those earnings are going to be very important.
We've seen the Wall Street doing pretty well and the economy doing well. What are we seeing on wages for workers?
Well, wages are an interesting kind of a conundrum for the economy, and it's been that way now for the last several years. That despite expectations of continued robust economic growth. You talk about the employment rate being down at 3.8, 4%, unemployment claims at historic lows. Expectations are we should be seeing wages rise, well, actually rather dramatically, but real inflation-adjusted wages are basically flat over the last several quarters. And really since 1998, wages are about the same as they were back in 1998, despite rising cost of living. Again, you know, how we report inflation in terms of CPI and what you and I experience is real inflation in terms of rising insurance costs, rising healthcare costs, college tuition. You know, our living standard has gone up a lot more than how we report inflation. So this has really provided a drag on consumers. But for corporations, it's about profitability at the end of the day, and employees and wages are the most high cost part of doing any business. And this is why, after tax cuts, most corporations opted for one-time bonuses rather than increases in wages. The bonus says, I love you today. Wages say, I love you forever. And wages are costly.
All of the a lot of big earnings reports coming out this week. Any potential? You know, they're all market movers when you look at them individually. But any potential surprises when Goldman Sachs or Morgan Stanley, American Express, IBM step up with their report cards?
I think IBM, as an example, financials are a little bit different animal because they receive income from the net interest margin. And, of course, with the Fed raising interest rates, that's been helping net interest margins for a lot of the banks. The ones we really want to watch are your big industrial companies, right? So we want to look at Caterpillar and 3M and these type of companies, because that's where we're going to get the first indication, really, of any potential impact from tariffs and et cetera that's been going on in relation to trade war, and more importantly, about what's happening truly in the industrial side of our economy. So I think those are the ones that you're really going to want to watch very closely. A lot of your tech companies are still going to look great. Netflix has gotten downgraded a bit today by a couple of research firms, but expectations have been lowered. Earnings per share have been lowered by $10 on an annual basis for going out to 2019. So we're seeing estimates being ratcheted down, and this is despite tax cuts and tax reform. We're seeing estimates come down, which allows these companies to beat earnings. But really pay attention to what the guidance is more than the number, and really want to watch for kind of how geopolitical kind of outcomes and geopolitical economics are going to be impacting earnings going forward.
Well, thank you very much for the insight. Lance Roberts, Chief Investment Strategist at Clarity Financial in Houston, Texas. You can follow him on Twitter at Lance Roberts or at his website, realinvestmentadvice.com. Coming up, breaking down a solid month for retail sales.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, your chance to win $1,000 coming up in just 4 minutes here on WBBM. But until then, U.S. retail sales rose solidly in June, signaling consumer confidence in the economy. Let's take a look at the strengths and the weaknesses of the retail sector with Jan Rogers Niffin, the CEO of J. Rogers Niffin Worldwide, based in New York. Jan, welcome back to the program. Based on these numbers, is the retail apocalypse, is that still on? Or if we hit the snooze button?
Well, the retail apocalypse is still on, if you mean, are we going to have record store closings and record bankruptcies this year? But if you're asking, are sales good? Is consumer good? Wasn't quite as strong as what we saw in May for my part of the world, and I didn't think it would be, but it was still really, really good. The only rather unusual part of it was the extremely low inventory levels. A few minutes ago, I described the inventory levels as dangerously low, and someone said, does that mean people will die or go naked? And I said, okay, maybe not dangerously low in that respect, but low enough that it could slow down sales going forward unless the retailers can really turn their inventories a lot faster than we believe they can. So I think we're going to have to see inventories come up to continue this run in the inventories in the retail space. But yes, the consumer's great. The sales are great. They're buying it faster than we're bringing it in. And right now, it's you know, pretty Goldilocks looking from the point of view of being very ideal. Not much inflation, enough people to fill the jobs, maybe a little tight on that, but great sales.
Well, let's talk about the progress at brick-and-mortar stores. Does this show that people are still moving away from actually going to a physical store and doing all their shopping online?
Well, they're still moving away from physical stores toward online. But, you know, physical stores that are doing their job well are still being successful. And we'll see fewer physical stores, and we'll see smaller physical stores. But until 2030 or so, more than half of all sales are still going to be coming out of stores, not online. Right now, that number is more like 85%. So it's going to continue that direction. We're going to see more go online. We're going to see Amazon's big Prime Day here do one heck of a lot of business, probably $3.4, $3.5 billion. So, yes, it's still going to be strong moving online, but good brick-and-mortar retailers are going to be here at least as long as you and I are. Well, at least as long as I am.
Here in Chicago, we've been watching Sears selling off its stores and having a financial problem. What parts of the sector are actually doing very well?
Well, you have to remember, I've been watching Sears try to go broke since about 1984. And it hasn't managed to yet, but boy, it's a shadow of its former self.
Coming close.
So, yes, Sears is in trouble, and Kmart, its other division, is certainly in trouble. But, no, we're seeing sectors do well. Walmart's still doing well, even against Amazon. We're seeing Nordstrom's, Macy's, and Kohl's all do well. So that sector, which has been shedding share to online, is still looking pretty good right now in the current environment. We're not seeing much strength in the mall-based sector. It's hard to find somebody to get excited about. Maybe Urban Outfitters, maybe Foot Lockers have a decent run in the mall. But most people in the mall are really struggling. And the mall business continues to shed share. And we'll see mall-based traffic fall for the rest of your investing lifetime, perhaps. But, you know, we've just got too many malls at the moment.
Jan, thanks so much for joining us today. Jan Rogers Niffen. Still ahead is the CEO at J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide in New York. And still ahead, Social Security strategies for people who are still working.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Let's get the latest in the markets from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
Well, we continue to run in place here, Rob. The Dow is up just 8 points. NASDAQ down 13, or 0.2%. S&P off 2 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is lower by 0.5%. Some of the red ink spillover from the oil market. The Saudis are offering to sell more, and crude futures are tumbling 0.75%, down $3 now to $67.90 a barrel. We have a check of the grains markets for that. We turn to Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Lisa. Grain markets have been under pressure in overnight activity due to a favorable forecast weather-wise and concerns about trade with China. As we moved into today's session, there was talk that maybe there could be some negotiations ahead of the 2018 midterm elections. Also, too, we are seeing some profit-taking take place. Corn futures are up 1 to 1.5, beans up 15 to 16 cents, and the wheat market's down 5 to 6 cents. This is Kurt Kimmel, Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Kurt. On our local benchmark, the biggest decliner, Tribune Media, on word the FCC wants to put a stop to Sinclair Broadcast's takeover of Trib. I'm Elisa Parenti with the Bloomberg Business Report, live from Bloomberg on News Radio 780 and 105.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are mixed at this hour. While oil is lower, we'll take a closer look at both.
It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll have suggestions from an investment pro.
You can claim Social Security benefits while you're still working. We'll discuss if that fits into a sound retirement plan.
Governor Rauner signs a law allowing guns to be temporarily taken away from people judged to be a danger to themselves or others.
Presidents Trump and Putin meet the press after their historic meeting in Helsinki. The details on the way from CBS News.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrials up 13, the NASDAQ down 13, and the S&P 500 down by 2.5 points.
Hot and humid, could see a shower or thunderstorm going up to 89, 1231.
CBS News Special Reports. One more time, did the Russians meddle in American elections?
I addressed directly with President Putin the issue of Russian interference in our elections. I felt this was a message best delivered in person. Spent a great deal of time talking about it.
The president says his Russian counterpart again answers no about President Putin's offer to have Robert Mueller come to Russia to observe interrogations of Russians accused by the special counsel.
What he did is an incredible offer. He offered to have the people working on the case come and work with their investigators with respect to the 12 people. I think that's an incredible offer.
CBS News correspondent Major Garrett.
This was, and President Trump knew it going in, his best opportunity to say to Russian President Vladimir Putin and to the world, I denounce you and don't do it again. Given that golden opportunity, he let it pass.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jim Taylor.
WBBM News Time, 12:32. The noon business hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Oil has dipped back below the $69 a barrel mark. Let's talk about the direction of the market with Phil Flynn, senior market analyst at Price Group and Fox Business News contributor here in Chicago. Welcome back to the noon business hour, Phil. What does this mean?
I think what it means is that all of a sudden we have a lot of oil that we didn't think we were going to have just a few days ago. Here was a market that we had seen. We had one of the biggest drawdown in inventories that we've seen in years. But then all of a sudden, the Trump administration is talking about more oil potentially being released from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. And it wasn't just the Trump administration. You had a report that the International Energy Agency is also talking about more oil in the event of a disruption. And then, of course, today, President Trump is meeting with the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin. President Trump brought up the issue of oil. President Putin said prices are too high. So you have all these things just hitting the market, driving down the prices pretty dramatically.
What does this mean for consumers?
I think for consumers, it's good news. We're going to see some lower gasoline prices in the short term. The bad news is that it's probably only going to be short-term relief. All this extra oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve really is a Band-Aid, and it doesn't change the fact that global demand is very strong and the production levels of oil aren't really enough to keep up with demand right now.
Thank you very much for the insights, as always. Phil Flynn, senior market analyst at the Price Group and a Fox Business News contributor based in Chicago. Stocks are off to a slow start to open the week. We're joined by Paul Nolte, the portfolio manager, Kingsview Asset Management, based in Chicago. Paul, is this simply a case of investors standing on the sidelines until a bunch of the biggies come out with their earnings reports this week?
Yeah, I think today the markets have the Monday blahs and waiting around for a lot of stuff going on this week. We've got Powell up on Congress, talking to Congress this week on interest rates, so we're going to be very interested to hear what his views were or are on the economy. He mentioned some things last week, still pretty positive. And as you mentioned, we have a lot of data points for a lot of different companies coming out as earnings season really gets kicked off this week.
So apparently a case of the Mondays does extend to the financial world.
It does. And really what's kind of interesting, too, when you take a look at the markets here, they're relatively unchanged. But when you look beneath the markets at the amount of stocks that are down versus up, there's about two more stocks down than for every one that's up. So underneath the market, it's a little bit weaker here. We saw some of that even last week. And given the run that we've had over the last three, 4 weeks, it shouldn't be a surprise to have the markets at least take a few days off here and kind of gather themselves before they make either another march higher or decide, no, this is maybe as good as it gets, and we turn down lower here for a little bit.
Is the president and Putin, is that in the range today? Are traders watching this? And if so, what kind of an impact would that have on the markets?
You know, it's interesting. As we're watching the markets, as we're going through the entire press conference, the markets really didn't move at all, and there was no reaction in the financial markets to anything in the press conference. So I think really the markets have been focused really more on economic data and a lot less on the geopolitical. So even last week when the tariff announcement came out, that lasted for 24 hours, and the markets were back higher by the end of the week. So I'm not seeing a lot of reaction long term, especially on a lot of the geopolitical. It's strictly the economic data.
And the economic data have been pretty good recently.
It has been. And it's, I think what's really powering the market higher here is that the data looks as though we're going to see maybe this quarter as much as 4% or north of 3% GDP growth. We'll tail off a little bit toward the end of the year. And I think there's some concern, too, about if these tariffs do all get enacted, what does that mean for a headwind for the United States? A higher dollar, which we've experienced over the last month or two, is probably going to hurt earnings. But again, a lot of that is going to be toward the back end of the year. Right now, I think the markets are looking at the glass certainly half full and not necessarily half empty.
Thanks for joining us today, Paul. Paul Nolte is portfolio manager at Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Up next, how Social Security can fit into your overall retirement strategy.
A wallet full of information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
You can claim Social Security while still working, but there are drawbacks. Let's talk retirement strategy with Craig Bolanos, founding partner and chief executive officer of the Wealth Management Group in Inverness, Illinois. Craig, welcome back to the program. We always talk about investing strategy, 401k, 403b, Roths, all sorts of funds that you can take care of yourself. And in all of this, we kind of lose sight of the fact that 80 years ago, Franklin Delano Roosevelt made sure that you got a check in the mail every month after the age of 65, or now 67. So what's going to happen? What happens to you if you reach a Social Security age and you're still working and you want to start taking advantage of those benefits?
Well, we have one golden rule for everybody, which is if you're going to start collecting your Social Security benefits prior to your full retirement age, you really need to make sure you know what the earning limits are going to be, or you're going to run the risk of permanently diluting your Social Security benefit and even owing the government some money back. So let's talk about that for just a moment. So your full retirement age is the first time you can collect a benefit without being subject to an earnings test and without your benefit being reduced. And Rob, you just said it perfectly. For everybody born after 1960, that full retirement age is 67. Everybody else born prior to that, it's something less.
And what is the income limit? I mean, what's the threshold where it makes sense? And what's the threshold where you go, I should probably back off and wait?
Great question. So if we start collecting our Social Security prior to our full retirement age, then in 2018, we need to be positive that we're not going to make more than $17,040 from earned income, meaning, you know, income from our employment, not our pension, not our annuity, not other things, from employment. So $17,040 is that line in the sand.
So what would you tell someone who says, well, I'm not ready to retire yet. I'm going to keep working. But, you know, that would be nice to have a little extra income once a month, and they're in their late 60s.
Well, I think all of it comes down to a very real assessment that each of us need to do with ourselves is we've got to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, what is our health? Right? Because there is a simple break-even age with all of these Social Security discussions. And for most people, it's going to be right around the age of 81. But I think for a lot of us that just turned 62, might be turning 63, the temptation to start that benefit is so large. I understand it. But if we're going to be earning more than $17,040, I think for most families, there's probably a better source of additional income than their Social Security starting early.
Is it, when people come to you to start talking about retirement, when they talk about the various asset classes they have lined up for retirement, where does Social Security usually fall in that discussion?
Well, I think it's pivotal. You know, we spend so much time joking about how the Social Security Trust Fund is running out of money in 2036 and all these other things. But what I tell people is we have this entitlement system that we've been paying into for our entire life, and each of us deserves to get every nickel out of Social Security. And when you say, where does it fit? I think it's an integral source. I think it's an integral source, and I just want to make sure that our listeners take the time to get highly educated because their social claiming strategy is different than their neighbor, different than their coworkers, and they should probably get with a professional to make sure they check all the boxes.
Craig, thanks so much for all the good information. Craig Bolanos is founding partner, chief executive officer at Wealth Management Group in Inverness. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday and still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour. Joining us today, Michael Palumbo, founder of Third Millennium Trading and author of the new book, Calculated Risk, here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Michael. What's your first pick today?
Good afternoon, Chris and Rob. Thanks for having me on. You know, I have two picks, one a little less, little more under the radar, and one very well known. So first pick's going to be Eli, E-L-Y, which is Callaway Golf. As I said, a stock that not a lot of people follow, but and golf has had kind of a bad reputation over the past few years of losing interest. But I think with Tiger Woods coming back, it's got the ratings have gotten a lot better, and it's pulling millennials into playing the game, which was not happening a few years ago. It's a stock that has had a fantastic year. It's up 30%, but it has pulled back from 21 down to about 18.5 now. I think it's a great time to get in here. This pullback has given you a great opportunity. I think the stock's going to at least $30. And Callaway Golf, for people who play, it's definitely the best in class. And when I invest in stocks like this, I like to go with the quality names. And if you're gonna bet on golf, this would be the stock to do. And I think it's a great buy.
Bringing back memories of slinging Big Berthas at a golf club when I was in high school. Your next one, it's a name that's in the news and in our pockets all the time.
Exactly. So the second pick is Facebook. It's had a tremendous year as well, a big momentum name. But this stock is a monopoly, basically. Its only real competitor is Snapchat. And quite honestly, Facebook's Instagram unit is eating Snap's lunch right now. And really, other than Snapchat, it has really no other competitors of note. Twitter's kind of a separate kind of entity. But as far as direct competitors, really none. You've got Instagram, which appeals to millennials. You've got Facebook, which actually appeals to us older folks, the Gen Xers and above. And they pretty much cover the gamut in social media. That's not going to change. And if you're going to bet on a monopoly stock, and those usually are pretty good bets to make, I think this is a great one. I think this could be the first $1 trillion stock. It's going to be competing with Amazon, Apple, and Google to on the race to a trillion. It's about $700 billion right now. But I think it could be the first one, and even if it isn't, it's in a great crowd of stocks that's going to get there, and I think it's got a lot of upside. It's got a lot of growth. Of all those names that I mentioned, Amazon, Apple, and Google, Facebook is definitely the one that has the most growth potential, and I just think it's a stock that could rise another 20 to 30% here in the next year easily, and that would get it to $1 trillion.
Wow, we'll be watching that for sure. Thanks for joining us today, Michael Palumbo, founder of Third Millennium Trading, author of the new book, Calculated Risk, here in Chicago. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55, the latest from the markets from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
Rob, the Dow is up just 12 points now. 25,031 is the level. NASDAQ down 12, S&P off 2. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is lower by 0.5%. Crude futures are tanking, down more than 4.5% now to $67.68 a barrel. Amazon's Prime Day is so big it's impacted the government's July retail numbers since it started in 2015. The 2018 event starts in about an hour. And not to be left out, about half of the 100 largest retailers are holding their own sales. Alex Partners says they are highlighting the fact you don't have to be a Prime member to get their discounts. With business at 25 and 55. Live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago. WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.